Amen. As I was driving a carload of young people to church today, I said to them, I said, what is your spiritual New Year's resolution? See, I don't believe that God just wants us to go into a new year with an old normal. No. What's the use of going into a new year if nothing's going to change? What's the use in celebrating if nothing's going to change? See, a lot of people, they have a new year and an old normal. But God wants us to have a new year and a new normal. Everyone say a new normal. A new change, a change in our lives. And so I encourage you to pray and to think about what your spiritual resolutions will be, because God wants us to grow in our lives. We should always be growing. We should be able to look back on 2017 and say, I've come a long way since then to where I am now in God. We ought to be growing. My dad used to say, he says, if you're not green and growing, you're dead and dying. And so we've got to be growing. Mark chapter 6 and verse 32. Mark chapter 6 and verse 32. Have you got it there in your Bibles? It's going to be on the screen for those that need it there as well. And they departed into a desert place. Everyone say a desert place. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all of the cities. And out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people. And he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came and said to him, they said, Jesus, this place where we are is a desert place. Everyone say a desert. And now the time is far past. Send them away. Let everyone go, Jesus. Let them go, because they're going to have to go out into the country and into the villages and buy some bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, well, how many loaves have you got? Turn to your neighbor and say, how many loaves have you got? That slide's going to work up there. How many loaves have you got? How many loaves have you got? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everyone say fishes. I don't know. I thought I was taught at school. We meant to say, and 2 fish. But 2 fishes. I guess that's King James. And he commanded them all to sit down by companies on the, everybody say, the green grass. He said, everybody sit down on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set before them the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did eat and they were filled. How many people were there? 5,000 plus women and children. 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they did eat and they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Isn't that a beautiful story? Isn't that a beautiful account of the miraculous, how Jesus can take what we've got, he can bless it, he can break it, and he can multiply it. Do you believe that today? Amen. Let's lift our hands as we pray for the word right now. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord God, we need you to speak to us today. Lord God, as your word comes forth, let it go into our hearts as seeds. And Lord, help us by faith to water that seed. Lord, we know the word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as the word of God comes forth, let our faith be increased, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That those slides will be on that USB up there. Praise God. I want to speak today on this title, God is present. Everyone say, God is present. God is present on the pathway. Everybody say, the pathway. God is present on the pathway. Now, as children, when we were growing up, we would spend a lot of time going on long trips, especially around this time of year. We would travel and we'd be on our way to conference, whether it was in Brisbane, whether it was in Adelaide, whether it was in Melbourne or Sydney. We would be traveling to church conferences. And it was always exciting because we knew where we were going. Mum and Dad always made conference exciting. That we got there a little bit early. We'd get to go to the zoo and maybe go to the beach or things like that. But we would be excited about the destination, of course. But it wasn't just the destination. It wasn't just Melbourne or Sydney or Adelaide. But it was the journey along the way that was exciting. I remember once driving to Adelaide. We were driving from Canberra to Adelaide. And I remember my sister and I, we counted 166 emus. That was exciting. I remember all of the interesting towns that we would visit, and we would get to stay in the motel, and that was fun because they had a TV in the motel. We didn't have a TV at home, and I loved watching cricket, and cricket was on. It wasn't just so much about the destination, but it was about the journey along the way. Everyone say the journey. You see, I want to remind you today that God is a God of the destination. But he's also a God of the journey. And at this time of year, we're thinking about the journey, the last year, and we're thinking about the new year. We're thinking about what happened in 2018, and I pray that, yes, we're going to be thankful for what happened. Some of the things that happened in 2018 may be sad, but we've been on a journey in 2018. And with the click a hand on a watch, we're going to go into 2019. And one thing that I can guarantee is that it's going to be a journey. It's going to be a journey. Yes, God has a destination. God has a purpose. God has all of those things. He has a plan. But he's not just God of the destination. He's also God of the pathway. And I've come to remind somebody in the house of God today that God is present on the pathway. Even when we haven't reached our purpose, even when we're not yet at our destination, God is present on the... Everybody's asleep today. God is present on the... He's present on the pathway. And so sometimes we get so focused on the destination. And sometimes when you have that destination disease, when you're thinking about, how long until we get there? Anybody had kids like that? How long until we get there? How long until we get there? And sometimes us as adults, we're like that. How long until I get to my destination? How long until I get the promise of God? How long until I get there? But we miss that while we're on that journey, God is with us and God is present on the pathway of life. How many people know that to be true? And so we pray about the destination, but it's the things that we learn about God along the way that are most meaningful. We pray, we say, God, you gave me a promise. God, you have a purpose. God, I got this promise and I want you to get me to the place where you promised to take me. And sometimes God takes us the long way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God takes us, and my dad would say, it's not the long way, it's just the scenic route. And sometimes God will take us the scenic route in life. Anybody ever been on the scenic route? Yeah, you eventually got there, but God took you on the scenic route. You see, we serve a God of the promise, but he's also the God of the pathway. Now we think about Abraham. He was a great father of the faithful. Abraham, Joseph, David, and Paul. And when we think about them, we think, well, what does Abraham, Joseph, David, and Paul, what do they all have in common? Apart from being pillars of Christianity, what does Abraham, Joseph, David, and Paul have in common? What they have in common is that they all arrived at the promises of God on the scenic route. They all came to the place where God had planned for them the long way. It was, and as human beings, we want everything to be in a straight line, don't we? We say, God, I started here and I want to get there. But sometimes God says, no, no, I got to prepare you for the promise. I got to take you on the pathway. I got to take you on the scenic road. And God is present on the pathway. And so Abraham, he waited until he was 80 for God to fulfill the promise of him being the father of many nations. Joseph waited 13 years. It was 13 years from the time he was thrown into the pit until he came to the palace. David was around 15. Everybody say 15. He was 15 when he was anointed by Samuel to be king, and he was 37 when he became the king of Israel. Paul had the plan of God and the purpose of God and the anointing on his life, but he spent many years in prison. And in fact, most of the books of the Bible that Paul wrote were written in prison. We wouldn't have those books. We wouldn't have Ephesians or Philippians. We wouldn't have those books if God didn't take Paul on the scenic road or the scenic path of life. And Paul knew that God was with him. Even though he was on a path that seemed so far from the promise, Paul knew that God is present even on the pathway of life. And so there's people here today. You know, God has given you a promise. God has given you a vision. You've prayed prayers and God is going to answer those prayers. But sometimes God is going to take you on the scenic route. Sometimes the path is going to be windy. Sometimes it's going to be here and there. But I've come to remind you today that God is present on the pathway. You can experience miracles. Everybody say miracles. Miracles along the pathway. You can experience miracles on the road of life. We think about the children of Israel, and they had a promise. They were on their way out of Egypt, out of slavery and out of bondage, and they were on their way to the promised land. Moses said to the children of Israel in Egypt, he said, come on, follow me and I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to take you to a place that's flowing with milk and honey. There's going to be big grapes there. The food's going to be big. There's going to be lots of sweets. We're going to have our own houses. We're not going to be bound by slave masters anymore. We're not going to have to make those bricks anymore. I'm sick of making those bricks. We're not going to have to do that anymore. And so we're on our way, Moses says. We're going to the promised land. But little did Moses know that it wasn't so much about getting to the promised land. It wasn't so much about the promise, but it was going to be about the experiences that Moses had along the way. And so when they got the promise, we're leaving here, we're up and out of here, we're coming out of Egypt, we're going to the promised land. And then suddenly, they left and then they came back. They were told they could go and then they were told they weren't. They got to see God's hand bring those plagues. They got to see all of the moves of God, and they still hadn't even got to the promised land. And so they were there. They were on their way, but it was the journey. It was the pathway of life. And so they were set free from bondage. They were set free from slavery. And then what? Turn to your neighbor and say, and then what? We've come out of Egypt. No more slave masters, no more bricks. We're on our way to the promised land. But where did they end up? In the wilderness. And they were glad to see God open up the oceans and drown the enemy. They were glad to see the hand of God. They were glad to see the miracles. But God, are you serious? We're on our way to the promised land and now we're in the wilderness. Let me remind somebody today that the wilderness was as much the plan of God as was the Red Sea. It was all part of the plan of God. It was part of God's design. And so God says, I got something for you, Moses. I got a promise for you. And God says, you know what I got? I got the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is not something that we celebrate. The wilderness. Nobody goes on holidays. We've got a lot of people away on holidays, but I'm not sure that anybody has gone for a holiday to the wilderness. The wilderness doesn't feature on travel shows. You don't get to see a getaway episode on the wilderness, no. The wilderness often features, though, on survival shows. And why would God take us through a wilderness. God, I thought we were coming out of Egypt and we're going to go to the promised land. I'm looking forward to those big grapes. I'm looking forward to having my own house. I'm looking forward to the comforts and all of the luxuries of the promised land. But now, God, here I am in a wilderness. Are you serious, God? The wilderness? Why would God take us through the wilderness? And maybe some of you today, and in fact, I know, some of us are in wildernesses right now. Between where we were and where God wants to take us, we're in a wilderness. And God will take you through the wilderness to teach you that things around us, are not our source. That other people are not our source of life. That we can't rely on our possessions. We can't rely on things. When you're in the wilderness, there's one thing that happens. You turn your eyes to heaven and you begin to rely on God. And some of us, we have the relationship that we have with God because we've been through a wilderness. And in that wilderness time, we could no longer draw. We couldn't phone a friend. We couldn't buy a tape and listen to a tape. Maybe it was a time of sickness. But in that time of sickness, we felt helpless. We felt hopeless. We couldn't do anything in our strength. But we turned our eyes to heaven in the wilderness and said, God, you're the only one that can help me. And God said, I've been waiting for this time. I've been waiting because you've been trying to do things in your own strength. You cannot do things in your own strength. Now you're in the wilderness, you're going to learn to put your trust in me. You see, God will take us through the wilderness to teach us that he is the only one that can satisfy our souls. And so the wilderness. What we forget with Moses and the children of Israel is that God did wonders and signs. Where? In the wilderness. And the truth is for us today is that if we would trust God in the wilderness, if we would put our trust in God in the wilderness, if we would look to God in the middle of our wilderness, that the wilderness can actually be a beautiful place where we can draw closer to God and where we can see miracles happening in our life. Where? In the wilderness. Don't discount the wilderness. See, a lot of us, we curse the wilderness. God, why am I here? And we're looking at God saying, I'm ready. Come on. When's this promised land coming? And we stand there and we miss out. We got destination disease. We're thinking about the place where we want to get to. When God says, I've got a pathway and I'm going to be present with you, not just at the place of your purpose, not just at the destination, but I'm present with you along the pathway of life. And so Moses saw miracles. He saw signs and wonders, not in the promised land, but in the wilderness. And so don't discount the wilderness times. And maybe 2018 has been a wilderness experience for you. But I pray that you have learned in that wilderness time to put your trust in God and to keep your eyes on him. Maybe 2019 is going to be a wilderness for you. But right now, at the end of 2008, let's make up our minds. I'm going to trust God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. So what happened, you know, the most amazing things can happen in the wilderness. They hit a rock and water flows out. Manna comes from heaven. Where? In the wilderness. Signs and wonders. Where? In the wilderness. Their clothes never wore out. 40 years. And their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Where did it happen? In the wilderness. God showed himself time and time and time again to his people. Where did it happen? In the wilderness. And so we got to learn from Moses, the children of Israel, that we got to come to a place where we stop cursing the wilderness. God is not wanting necessarily to do something for you in the wilderness, but God is wanting to do something in you in the wilderness. And so stop cursing the wilderness. Stop cursing the pathway. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Am I at my destination yet? No, stop cursing the pathway. Stop cursing the scenic route that God may be taking you on. But start to praise God and say, God, I know that you're a God of the destination, but you're also a God of the pathway of my life. And so God showed himself time and time again that he's in charge, that he is present, that he is able, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or ever think, above our wildest dreams. God can do it where? In the wilderness. So when we get there, when we get to heaven, and look, we're all hoping to get to heaven. That's our aim. We wanted to make it up there. When we get up there, as wonderful as it's going to be with Jesus and the apostles and the saints of the ages and all of that, it's going to be wonderful when we get there, but it's going to be the things that we learned along the way because God is present on the pathway. So we read about another pathway, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, if you turn there in your Bibles, the two disciples, are on their way on the road to Emmaus. They're on a journey in Luke chapter 23. Peter and John are there, and right after Jesus has been crucified, they're on the road to Emmaus. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb has been found empty. Now, Peter and John say, we got to go to Emmaus. And they are talking about everything that has happened, and we read it here. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they were walking along and talking and reasoning. What were they talking about? They were talking about everything they just seen happen at the crucifixion, that the tomb has been found empty. And while Peter and John are walking along, just having a chat, that somebody appears to them on the road to Emmaus. It was Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus himself drew near, and he went with them. And so as they're walking along, Jesus walks up, and he just starts walking alongside them on the road to Emmaus. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't recognize who he was. He was walking along with them, and he said unto them, he said, what manner of communications are these? Basically, Jesus said, what are you talking about? What manner of communications are these that you are having one to another as you walk? And I also noticed, you know, you're walking and talking, and why are you so sad? What are you talking about and why are you so sad? And they said, well, haven't you heard about Jesus? They didn't realize who they were talking to. Haven't you heard about Jesus? And Jesus says, oh, what things? And Jesus says, oh, well, how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they have crucified the Savior. And they continue. They keep walking along, and we were so disappointed, they said. Peter and John say, we're so disappointed because we thought that Jesus would come and he would redeem Israel. And so they continue, and then they say, but now we've heard that Jesus is alive. Read it for yourself. In verse 29 it says, and they constrained him. And said, stay with us. But before that, Jesus says, so you're telling me about this Jesus, you know. He's been crucified. The tomb has been found empty. Haven't you read about the prophecies that he would rise again? Have you read those prophecies? He says, he said to them, you guys have forgotten about those Old Testament prophecies that it was prophesied that Jesus would suffer those things, yes, but he would enter into his glory. And as they got closer to Emmaus, Jesus, who was still a stranger, everyone say a stranger, he was going to keep walking with them, but they asked him to stay. Jesus was going to keep walking on, and they said, well, Jesus, they said, no, they didn't know who he was. They said, would you just stay with us? And then they realized who it was. It was Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that then he vanished out of their sight. Luke 24, 29 says, and they constrain him, saying, stay with us, for it is towards evening. It's getting late in the day, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. Look at this. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew who it was. And he vanished. Disappointed. Can you imagine how disappointed they were on the road to Emmaus? Their heads were down. They were visibly disappointed, visibly sad, visibly discouraged, walking along, talking. And Jesus said to them, he noticed, he said, "Why are you so sad?" They were disappointed. Anyone ever been disappointed on the pathway of life? Yeah, anyone ever felt discouraged? Some people have. Everyone else, you just look disappointed. But we know what it's like. But it's in those times of discouragement. It's in those times of disappointment on the pathway of life where disappointment meets deity. It's where discouragement meets deity. And where does it happen? It happens on the pathway of life. At the darkest hour for Peter and John, their heads are hanging down. The crucifixion of Jesus, they're sad. They don't know what to do. But along the pathway of life, in their darkest hour, they meet Jesus Christ. And I've come to tell you today that God is present even on the pathway of life. You see, there is wonderful revelation. Peter and John got a revelation on that pathway while they were disappointed. They were discouraged. Yes, and they got revelation on the pathway of life. And I've come to tell somebody today that there is power when disappointment and deity meet. And if you're here today and you've been waiting on a promise for God, I've come to tell you that God is, yes, he's the God of the promise, but he's also the God of the pathway. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look at that scripture. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not... The waiting place, the pathway, the scenic route, the journey. They that wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we got to learn to celebrate the waiting place, not just the destination. We got to celebrate the pathway of life, not just the promise and the destination. They that wait, come on, let's say it together. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's go back to our text, Mark chapter 6. Anyone remember where we were when we started? Mark chapter 6. We read here in Mark 6 that Jesus led them. Everyone say led. He led them to the wilderness, to the desert. Jesus was such a great leader that they followed him into a desert place. A lot of people will follow a leader to a better place. But the multitude in this account followed Jesus to a desert place. We got to learn, we can learn from that right there. That sometimes even when you're following Jesus, you can find yourself in a desert place. And the desert place is just as much a part of the plan of God as is the destination. Jesus was a great leader. They followed him into a desert place, a barren situation. Has anyone ever followed Jesus into a barren situation? Anyone ever followed Jesus into an isolated situation? If God is leading, and we're thinking, is this God leading me or is this the devil tricking me? I thought that I was going to be going into the promised land, but now I'm in the wilderness. And so Jesus led them into the desert. And in the desert, we know some things about the desert. There's no water, well, very little, no trees, no fruit trees. You see, the desert speaks of a place of barrenness and even a place of brokenness. And here is Jesus with, not just by himself in the desert, but with 5,000 men plus women and children, they followed him into a desert place. Sometimes even when you're serving God, you can find yourself in a desert place. Even in being faithful in following God, you can find yourself into a desert place. They had followed Jesus, I guess you could say, into a problem.
Hang on. That's not what we learn in church today. In a lot of churches, they would say that when you follow Jesus, you're not going to have any problems. When you follow Jesus, you can expect a big fat bank account and lots of friends and success and all those sort of things. Yes, that might be part of it, but that's not it at all. These people follow Jesus into a desert place of brokenness and barrenness. Even unfruitfulness, there wasn't much happening there. And here they are, they follow Jesus into a problem. And a lot of people can't associate with that. They say, well, what do you mean? A problem in the presence of Jesus? I've come to remind us today, don't lose patience. Jesus is as much God in the desert place as he is in the bountiful place. He is as much God in the desert place as he is in the blessed and the bountiful place. And they said to Jesus, they said, there's nothing happened here. We haven't got much food. There's no shops. There's no Macca's, KFC, none of that. Our mobile phones have lost reception. We can't even dial a pizza. They said, shall we take our money and go to the city and get some bread? Jesus said, no, don't worry about that. What do you got? All we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus, that is not enough for this crowd. It's what we need. We'd love to, all of us, to have a big feast on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's what we need, but it's not enough. It's what we need, yes, but it's not enough. They said, what is this amongst so many? Has God ever stretched you to the point where you realize that what you've got is not enough? We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through him that loved us. God stretches us to the place where we realize, and I pray that in this new year that we would realize that we cannot rest on our own strength. We cannot rely on our own knowledge. We can't rely on ourselves, but that God would stretch us to realize that what we've got in ourselves is not enough. And so what happens when we realize what we've got is not enough? It brings us back to the feet of Jesus. And we say, God, I need your help. God, I need you to stretch some things. I got a little bit, but I haven't got enough. And miracles, everybody say miracles. Miracles begin when you admit, Lord, I don't have enough. Now, there are still miracles happening in the world today. But we don't see the miracles in our country, Australia, like we should. Why? Because we go everywhere else except to God. But there are people here today that can testify that in many countries where they don't have doctors, they don't have access, that where they're relying on God for everything, even their sustenance, that they see the miracles and the hand of God working. Why? Because they haven't got anything themselves, and it forces them to go to the feet of Jesus, and they say, Jesus, I haven't got enough. I can't do it. And when we go to God with that attitude, he will work a miracle in our life. But what happens to us is we try everything else first, and eventually, at the last resort, we go to God. And so they land at the feet of Jesus, and they say, Jesus, it's not enough. And when you turn things over to Jesus, he will take your not enough and he'll make it more than enough. He'll take your not enough and he will make it more than enough. For people who are interested in numbers in the Bible, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is 5 plus 2? 7. What does the number 7 mean in the Bible? It's the number for completion. What they had was enough if they would just put it in the hands of God. And the Bible says, look at this, Mark 6, verse 39. And he commanded them to all sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. We're hungry, Jesus. We're hungry. We need to send somebody to go get some food. We're hungry. And Jesus says, okay. I got to do something here. Just listen to me.
And there's 5,000 men plus women and children. He goes, before we eat, just want you to all sit down on the green grass by 50s and hundreds. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. All right, now you guys go sit down. Okay, 5,000 men plus women and children. Okay. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. Okay, you guys sit down. We've got 100 people sitting down. The weight. Jesus, what are you doing? He says, I want you to remember, I'm in control. This is all part of the process. It's all part of the pathway. It's all part of the journey. I want you to know that I'm in charge. You get nervous and anxious. You're in the waiting room. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Don't give up in the waiting room. Keep waiting because God will come through. Because He's God. Our God is present even on the pathway of life. He's the God of the pathway. Here's the God of the pathway. And there it was. They all sat down in hundreds and by 50s. They're hungry. And Jesus has in His hands everything that it's going to take for a miracle. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The Bible says He blessed it. He broke it. And then He gave it to them. And as they're going around serving, the bread is just replenishing. It doesn't say, it just says they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It doesn't say suddenly they had 5,000 loaves and 2,000 fishes. No, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There were still 5 loaves, but God was working a miracle in their hands. God was multiplying the bread in their hands. And so He gave it to them. He blessed it. He took it. He blessed it. And He broke it. And then He gave it to them. Did anyone recognize those words? He took it, He blessed it, He broke it. Hang on, isn't that what He did on the road to Emmaus with Peter and John? He sat down to dinner, He took it, He blessed it, and He broke it. So we have Jesus by the ocean with 5,000 men plus women and children. He took it, He blessed it, He broke it. We have 2 men disappointed and discouraged on the road to Emmaus. He took the bread, He blessed it, and He broke it. If you know your Bible, that at the Passover, Jesus took the bread, He blessed the bread, and He broke the bread. There's something there. Sometimes on the pathway of life, God will take us. And in blessing us, He will break us. We've been taken from the world, yes. Taken out of Egypt and blessed. But sometimes God is going to take you on the pathway. Because before God can do what He wants to do in your life, you've got to be broken. You've got to be broken. The Bible says that we are like gold tried in the fire. 1 Peter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. David said it like this. He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. If the musicians could come. God is present. God is present. God is present on the pathway. And I don't know what 2019 is going to hold for you, but I do know there's going to be a pathway. There is going to be a road. There's going to be times when you're going to be discouraged. There's going to be times when you're disappointed. There's going to be times when things don't seem to be making sense. There's going to be times when it seems like you're waiting for Jesus to count out the 50s and hundreds and you're waiting in the waiting room. There's going to be times when it feels like you can't go on anymore because the road just seems to be wandering and Jesus has somehow led you into a desert place or a wilderness. But I come to remind this church today that He's not just God of the promise, He's not just God of the destination, but He's also the God of the pathway. And that God is present on the pathway of life. God is present on the pathway of life. Let's all stand in this place today. As blessed, we read about the bread that Jesus took it. He blessed it. And He broke it. Jesus, what did He do with the bread? He took it. He blessed it. And He broke it. As blessed as Joseph was, He had to be broken in a pit. He went on a pathway that didn't seem to make sense. As vibrant as Peter was, He had to be broken and humbled so that He could preach that message on the day of Pentecost. It was through brokenness. God took Job. He blessed Job. Then He broke Job and He blessed him some more. But it was through brokenness that Job was blessed more in the end than he was in the beginning. God takes us. He blesses us and He breaks us to use us for His glory. You see, miracles, they happen along the pathway of life. And so we get to the end of the story. They follow Jesus into a desert place. They followed Him into a wilderness. The awkward waiting. What are we going to do? This is what we need, but it's not enough. And God said, just put it in My hands. Trust Me. Trust Me on the pathway of life. And that is a word for somebody here today. Whatever the pathway of life is serving up to you, you got to trust God. You got to keep your eyes on Him on the pathway of life. And so what happens there is that everybody's fed. Everybody has bread and fish. And the Bible says that there was leftovers. My God is a God of the leftovers. He's going to bless you, the Bible says, until it's overflowing. Till it's overflowing. Everybody's fed. And there are leftovers. Can you go back to the text there, Brother Morty? It's a wonderful story. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 39, go back to the text in Mark. The same account's there in Luke. But in Mark, the Bible says that He told them to sit down on the green grass. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. And He commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the... Hang on. He told them to sit down in companies on the green grass. Where were they? In a desert place. They were in a desert place. They were on a journey. But there is even green grass in the middle of a desert place when you're with Jesus. He's not just God of the promise. He's also God of the pathway. How do you get green grass in the desert? I tell you, our God is so good. There's going to be times that you're going to be on the pathway of life. You're going to be discouraged and you're going to be disappointed. But God is going to show up and there's going to be some green grass. Think about it. Think back over 2018. All the trials, even the difficult times that you've been through, there's been times when there's been green grass. God has promised. God has been there with you where you've known His comfort. The Bible says, even for those that are mourning, that He comforts us when we mourn. I thank God that even though I may find myself in a desert place, that He's going to give me some green grass to sit down. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art
with me. I got to thank God. He didn't stop me going through the desert, but he gave me some green grass in the desert. Because God is present even on the pathway of life. Have you ever been through a hard time and God created a green place? Only when we look back, maybe we look back and we've come through the other side and we say, God, you know what? I felt like you weren't there, but you were there all along. Now I remember you brought that person into my life. You gave them that scripture. I went to church that Sunday and you spoke to me like the pastor was preaching to me and I was the only person in the church. God, I thank you for some green grass. You see, a lot of us, we want to get to our destination fast. It's because we live in a microwave society. Let me tell you, it's going to happen. You're on the pathway. Don't curse the pathway, but enjoy the miracles along the way. Because he's God on the pathway. He's God along the way. God's delays are not God's denials. God may be silent, but as Joseph said, as we know in the life of Joseph, God may be silent, but he was never absent. Miracles along the way. He's the God of the pathway. Let's lift our hands right now. We thank you, Lord, for 2018. We thank you, Lord, for the journey that we're on. We thank you, Lord, that you are true and faithful, oh God. That you never fail us, oh God. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that we have found strength when we've been waiting on you. We thank you, Lord, for the green grass in the desert place. We thank you, Lord, that you are present even on the pathway of life. Come on, some of us need to praise God right now. Some of us need to praise God. I praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's lift our hands all across this place. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh.